Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
Can he answer your prayer or not? Then don't go to him like, hey, just, you know, I'm throwing this at you and maybe too much for you right now or at all, but blah, blah. That's doubting. Go to him and say, look, this is what I need. No doubt that you can do it. Instead of this going in and go, well, I asked a couple times, forget about it. I'll take care of it.
You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. We're so grateful you've tuned into the program. Richard's talks are always straight from the Bible, filled with truth. We're also very excited to tell you about a project we've been working on for quite some time now. Our mission has always been to reach the world for Jesus Christ. So this brand new concept to accomplish is bold and ambitious, and we're going to need your help. Richard will tell you more about it later on, but you can see it right now at our website, richardellis.com. But for right now, let's go ahead and get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Yes. So we covered no the other day, so to be positive, let's do yes. So how do you get a yes from God? You got something going on in your life, your family, your marriage, your kids, your business, just some dream, some whatever, something you want him to fix, and he's not fixing, and you say a prayer, and you want him just to come back with a yes, but you don't get a yes. Or sometimes you do get a yes. After a few years of processing all this stuff, I've discovered that you're much more likely to get a yes from God after he's gotten a yes from you. So what do you mean by that? We want him to stamp our stuff. We want him to approve our little plans. We're going to run in and say, hey, look, I know you don't have time. You got all the big old world universe to take care of. So just hit this with an approved yes, and I'll be out of here and won't bother you anymore. Just give me what I want. I got time. Would you like to stay and visit a bit? Oh, no. I know you're busy and I'm busy. And I just came here to get this yes. You'd be amazed at how much God is not interested in that. This thing is way more relational than you might think. This is not a wham bam situation. You need to want him more than you want a yes from him. Amen. If the key to this thing is God and knowing God and making sure you're not forcing things to happen, that it is really his will, his work, he's doing it, then if you get to know him, and if somehow you could figure out what he wants to give you first, and you ask for what he wants to give you, then you'd get what you want every time, because you'd want what he has for you every time. You say, well, how absurd is that? Well, that'd be easy. If I already knew what he wanted to give me, I'd ask for that and he'd give it to me. That's what I said. But I'm not interested in what he wants to give me. I'm interested in what I want. And I'm afraid if I ask for this and that's not what he wants to give me, it's not going to happen. And now I got a problem because I'm not getting what I want. Because I want what I want more than I want him. I want what I want more than I want his will. You say, well, that doesn't sound very good. Imagine how it sounds on the throne. You're not interested in me. You don't care about me. You don't want time with me. You don't want a relationship with me. You just want me to do things, magic tricks. Look at Psalm 34:18. Now, you say, well, how do I get near to this God? Here's a simple way. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. Broken heart, contrite spirit. You go to God, you say, look, I'm in trouble. This is where I am. And what does it say? He's near to those people. It's when you come in cocky. It's not that the Bible doesn't say come in with boldness. It does say that. But it doesn't say come in cocky like, hey, I own the place and you just need to step up and do what I want you to do. He's looking for heart issues. He's looking for people that have a heart for him primarily. Matthew 7. Now, I don't normally get in the weeds on stuff, but we're going to get in the weeds a little bit on this. Matthew 7, verse 7. So here's what Jesus says. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you whom if his son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, you'll give him a serpent? Well, I mean, these are all duh questions. Like, well, if that's so duh, then why do we not think God's going to do even better? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Okay, now let's go to these three words. And I know a lot of people don't care about this stuff, but it's important here. In the way these verbs are processed, all three of these, ask, seek, and knock, are present active imperatives, which means it is not a suggestion. When Jesus said to ask, he is commanding you to ask. When he says to seek, he is commanding you to seek. When he says knock, commanding you to knock. But because of the tense of this thing, it's an active imperative, which means it's a repeated action, not a one-time event. So the way it really should read is keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And you say, well, I asked and I didn't get an answer. Did you keep on asking? And the word for ask is defined as a verbal request, trusting a listener. So when you go and you ask, the assumption is, I trust who I'm asking this question to, that he has an answer, can answer, and will answer. The seeking, it's active searching, moving toward a goal. The knocking is a persistent physical effort to gain entrance. I'm hard to wear out. I will knock till the door won't, I'm not going to quit. You say, well, everybody quits. Not everybody quits. And sometimes the people that get in are the knockers. So look at the sequence of these three things he gave us as well. Ask, seek, knock. You say, well, I'm doing all of them simultaneously. What if you did them sequentially? What if you started out asking? And as that process unfolds, then God says, okay, here's the answer to the ask. Now go look for it. Go seek it. And you say, okay, now you go looking for this answer. Then you get to a place and he says, it's in there, knock. You can't even get to the door to knock on unless you ask and seek and get to the knocking stage. You say, well, I don't have time for that. Then you don't want what you're asking for, seeking for, knocking for. It must not be important. So it's deliberate, persistent, expectant, relational. Look at John 14, 13. Now there's a bunch of verses to say this. John 14, 13, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So then you're like, okay, well, so here's my list, and I'm asking God to do all of this in Jesus' name, amen, boom, it's going to happen. Seems like that's what it says. But if you get into his name, what is implicit in his name? It's not just tacking on some magic word, Jesus. All these things in Jesus' name. You say, well, there's power in the name of Jesus. Yeah, there is, but you got to know who Jesus is and what he's about. Jesus was under the Father's authority the whole time he was here. He didn't do anything he didn't see the Father doing. He didn't say anything the Father didn't tell him to say. They were lockstep. So when you pray something in Jesus' name, you are not just tacking it on there. You're coming to God, and the assumption is you are walking with Jesus. You know Jesus. And I'm telling you, there's going to come to a point, if you keep growing as a Christian, where you eventually will go to ask for certain things and you cannot even ask for them anymore because you know that he is not prompting you to ask for any of this mess. He changes your asker because you start to know him. You start to know his will. You know, anybody that knows me, and if I'm late to a restaurant and I show up and they say, we ordered for you and we got extra spicy, they don't know me, right? I'm not eating extra spicy. I don't like it. I don't like my mouth being on fire. I don't understand you people that do. I think, why would you want to burn the taste buds off the back of your tongue? Maybe you don't have any anymore, and that's how you can do it. Do you know what Jesus would order? Do you know him well enough to know, hey, it's going to be a little crazy day at lunch, but Jesus is going to join us for lunch. He'll be here in just a little bit. I'm going to go ahead and order for him. What? What are you going to order for Jesus? He loves fish. Get him some bread and fish, right? How well do you know Jesus? See, knowing things about Jesus is not knowing Jesus. Do you know him? So here's the question. Do you have any interest in knowing him? Is he just your savior, as in he saved me and I'm going to get into heaven? But he's like, okay, well, I'd like to spend some time. I got lots of yeses for you, but the yeses I have for you are things I want for you. And if you want me, you're going to want for you what I want for you, because you're going to want me and it's all going to work out. But what about all my stuff that I want? And you're not going to care about that, because if you get me, you won't want all that, because I'm better than all that. No, I got to have that car. I got to have that house. Just get silly stuff. What have we traded in on Jesus? John 15, 7. If you abide in me, and this is like a branch abiding to a trunk of a tree, a limb, attached. You stay connected. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Why does it happen that way? He does not just say, ask what you will and it'll be done. He explains to them, this is about me. This is about you and me. This is about abiding in me, the truth. Then he changes your picker. He said, I don't want it to change. I want to lust for things that I want to have. I was at a birthday party recently and a bunch of young couples, and man, I just almost felt bad for them because all these people trying to stay married, little kids, and then I watched the cars leave. This car thing's a tricky thing because let's say somebody's got more money than you and they can afford a nicer car and they have a nice car. And now you're a woman and this other woman your kids go to school with, she has a nice car and you don't have as nice a car. Well, now you're not content. And now your husband's lazy. So now you're not content. Now you're upset. Now you don't like your car. You're embarrassed by your car. It may be paid for and theirs isn't, but no one asked that question. But now your self-esteem, everything's wrapped up in some car. And now your marriage is in trouble because you're pounding on your husband. We need more. We need more. You're not enough. You're not enough. Right? You want to get where we live? And then you say, God, it's not fair. Barbara Jean, it was in the, southern states. Barbara Jean, she got a nicer car than me. It's not fair. I need another car. I need a new car. And he says, I believe I've provided a car for you. And it's running. Yeah, but it's rusty. It's running. And I'm going to teach you that little phrase, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, is about contentment. So then you get in your car and you drive up and you go, I got a paid for car. And Jesus provided this car. And then you're not all wound up all the time about other people and competing and you got to say yes to me because you said yes to them. Maybe they said yes to them. It wasn't him. John 16:24. Pretty interesting. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. So a ton of this is just about asking. And it's not about asking one time. It's about asking. Keep asking. Over and over, stay with it, stay with it, talk to him. You say, well, why would God not just come through? He doesn't get tired of it. He's trying to find ways to get us to come to him. Has it ever occurred to you that you're not getting your answer because he wants time with you? Amen. And if he thought you would spend time with him anyway, he'd answer it quicker. But we're not built that way. We need something, we go to him because we need it, and we think once we get our answer, we're gone. He's like, I don't want you to be gone. I want you to come to me every day, whether you need anything or not, just like this, like you need me, like oxygen. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Now, this is going to be targeted. I've maybe picked on the Barbara Jeans just a second ago, but now I'm going to come at the husbands a little bit. 1 Peter 3:7, I'm going to give you a very simple thing to analyze as to why you may not be getting a yes to your prayers. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, meaning your wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, all of that your prayers may not be hindered. So you're going to God saying, God, do this, do this, do this. You're like, dude, as soon as you clear up verse 7, I'm on it. Now, what are you talking about? Your prayers are being hindered because you're not living with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife, the weaker vessel, as being heirs together the grace of life. You're not treating her well. She's your bride. You're my bride, part of my bride. Until you treat her well, your prayers are getting stalled out. Amen. Do the right thing by your wife. Now, if you're a man, you say, dude, you understand. She's complaining to me about the old car she has to drive. And you want me to treat her well when she's disrespecting me? I thought you were the leader, and leaders usually go first. Interesting how that works. Well, no, she's got to apologize. Oh, so you're not the leader anymore. Well, I'm the leader. I'm the man of this house. Well, why don't you live like a man then? Be the man. Apologize. Treat her like she's supposed to be treated. All these people go, why is God not answering my prayers? Why don't you do a little study on why your prayers may not be getting answered? Are you abiding in him, in his word? Are you loving on your wife the way you're supposed to, honoring, understanding the weaker vessel? Then look down at 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So you can't be living an evil life and then pounding on God saying, answer prayer, answer prayer, answer prayer. He's like, what are you even talking about? What are you doing here? You're living an evil life. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. So live a righteous life, a godly life. Walk with him. And he's already telling you, I hear your prayers. I'm listening. You say, but you're not answering them in my time. Just hang in there. Stay with me. You say, well, I don't like the way it's set up. You didn't get to pick that. Just do what it says. Keep showing up. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Look at James 1, verse 6. James 1, 6. Talking about praying. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. So you say, well, I can't have doubts. It's not that you don't have questions. You can't question who you're asking. Can he answer your prayer or not? Can he do it or not? Then don't go to him like, hey, just, you know, I'm throwing this at you and maybe too much for you right now or at all, but blah, blah. That's doubting. Go to him and say, look, this is what I need. No doubt that you can do it. Instead of this going in and go, well, I asked a couple times, forget about it. I'll take care of it. And then you go solve it your own way in your own power. And that last phrase, let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He knows when you come in halfway. So I know you can answer this prayer. I'm not going away. I may have fears and things creep in, but basically I know who you are. And when I ask in the name of Jesus, that all that involves, who he is, what he's done, what that represents, I know there is nowhere else to go. Now, you say, well, there is somewhere else to go. Well, where is that? I could go make a deal with the devil. People do that all the time. God's not giving me what I want. Now, this is where it gets a little spooky, actually. There are people who say, you know what I want, and I know that God is tugging on my heart, but I'm gonna do what I wanna do when I wanna do it with my life. And they literally say out loud, okay, let's cut a deal. And the devil, you say, well, how do you cut these deals? You just tell him, I want money, I want fame, I want possessions. You list off your list, and he says, okay, but you understand, I will give you what you ask for, but I get you. Are you in? I'm in, whatever it costs. Now, let me tell you some good news about even that. Let's say you made a deal with the devil. You can make another deal with Jesus. That counteracts is greater than the deal you made with the devil. But the devil will tell you you've gone too far. You can't get back. Jesus will never take you. As long as you're breathing, and sometimes even if you're dead, he can raise you from the dead. But as long as you're breathing, there is hope. Do not lose hope. James 5:16, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Don't quit. You say, but I haven't gotten my yes yet. Just make sure you want him more than you want your yes. And when you want him and you find him and you get him, then all of a sudden, the what you wanted, you got what you really wanted. What you thought you wanted is not even the issue. Then he may answer that with a yes, but that's a byproduct of what he was after. So God may allow for a need, a situation in your life, and you say, why are you doing this? You might have brought the whole thing on yourself, or he may allow it. You say, why is God allowing something terrible to happen to me? He just may want some time, and the only way to get time is you're going to show up now because you're in trouble. Because we don't show up and we're not in trouble. Yes. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, and more backup on these issues. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Ask yourself the question, are you keeping his commandments, doing those things that are pleasing in his sight? Then whatever you ask, you're probably going to receive. You say, well, it's not working out. Then don't analyze so much what you're asking for. Ask yourself if you're living by his word, keeping his commandments and doing the things that are pleasing to him. And you'd be amazed how everything turns around. I didn't read you the one out of James 4:3. It says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasure. It's about your pleasure. It's not about glorifying him. It's not about his will, his way. All right, go to Revelation 3:20. This is one of the most misquoted verses I grew up with. The people would use this about evangelism and telling people about Jesus and what was going on. This has nothing to do with evangelism. Revelation 3:20 is in the context of the lukewarm Laodicean church, one of the seven churches in Revelation. They were wealthy, self-sufficient, but spiritually blind and disconnected from Christ. And Jesus says here, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And it's the same word used for knocking back in Matthew 7. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. So you say, well, that's a person who's not a Christian. No, they're a Christian. He just cannot get in to have time with them, to dine with them, which means implies deep relational communion, not just entry-level belief. And a lot of Christians I come in contact with, oh, dude, I became a Christian when I was six. And I said, well, how's it going so far? Oh, man, it's been pretty rough. Well, what are you doing about that? Well, nothing really. Well, you know, I just kind of been living like hell since then. And like, okay, and how's that working out? Not too good. What are you going to do about it? I don't know. And then all of a sudden the consequences start piling on and they go, why is God doing this to me? And I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? He's been trying to get your attention since you were six or 20 or whatever it was. You won't yield. He doesn't just want you to be with him in heaven. He wants to walk with you, to spend time with you here, between here and heaven. So you talk to non-believers and they go, yeah, it's like I feel God, you know, pulling on me, something pulling on me. It's like I hear his voice. That's something else. This is a believer who sooner or later, he is knocking, 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 and it's the same word. He's standing at the door and knocks. There's a famous painting about this in Europe somewhere where Jesus is at this door, and it's a huge painting. And if you look closely at this painting, Jesus is at a door. There's a guy on the inside, and Jesus on the outside. And if you look at the door, there is no latch on the outside of the door. The only way to get that door open is from the inside. So he's knocking. Do you hear his voice, and do you open the door? Because if you do, he'll come in, dine with you, and you with him. You say, well, I don't hear him knocking. You do. If you're a Christian and he's knocking, you hear him knocking. And beyond that, you say, well, I don't hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice, know my voice. You, if you're a believer, you know his voice. You don't like that it's him, but he is calling out your name. And now the only thing left to do is, are you going to open the door or not? Well, I don't want him coming in here and telling me something's got to change and trying to run my house. He owns your house. He's just kind enough not to kick the door in. Because he wants it to be your choice from the inside out to spend time with him, have a relationship with him. So let's go back to the beginning. You want yeses from God when you pray. Have you ever given him the yes that he needs from you in regard to trusting him alone with your life in eternity? There's a story about Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. I think I read it in another message recently where Lazarus has died and Jesus didn't show up in time and they've already buried him. And in John 11, verse 24, Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he asked her this question, do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. So my question for you, if you're not a Christian, do you believe that he is the resurrection, that it's all about him? You say, well, how would I know that? I'm telling you, when God shows up and impresses upon you and calls out your name, you know it's him. It's just what you're going to do with that. And someone explains to you that Jesus loves you, he died on the cross, was buried and raised from the dead. You can't hear that and go, oh, that's nothing. That's the power of God unto salvation. And so you got to do something with it. I'm highly recommending that you say yes to that and say, okay, God, that's what I believe. I do believe that. And I receive you into my life. I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I believe Jesus died, was buried, and raised from the dead to save me, to give me eternal life, abundant life, forgiveness of sins, package deal. I accept that. I accept you now. Come live in me, through me, change me. And he saves you. You say, well, then what happens? What's happening to most people in this room and Christians in the world? They're just deciding whether they're going to act like he's not knocking, act like he's not calling their name, and open the door and let him in terms of a relational relationship, ongoing, every day, sit down together and be a family. You say, well, I'm not interested in that. You will be. Sooner or later, you'll get hungry. Sooner or later, you get desperate. Sooner or later, your soul will cry out for him in a way it hadn't. You can't do it by yourself. You'll get yourself in a fix you can't get out of, and you will need him, and you'll start calling out to him. The good news is he always answers.
Hey, this is Richard Ellis coming to you from a football field about 1 foot from the goal line, and that's how we feel at richardellis.com about what's going on in the ministry. AI scares a lot of people. It doesn't scare us. We are sitting on an opportunity of a lifetime where all of our messages, audio and especially video, can be translated into multiple languages. This gives us an opportunity to fulfill our mission statement, which is to take the planet. But we need your help. We cannot do this on our own. We've done everything that we know to do to make it possible, but this thing takes funding. That's where you come in. It's a team effort, and without you on the team praying for us and giving, we will not get this over this goal line. So go to richardellis.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you in advance. Love you, and God bless you.
I can't tell you how excited we are about this. To be able to share Richard's messages in other languages is beyond our wildest dreams. We have worked extremely hard in pulling this off and have done all the legwork to get it this far. Think about it. People in other parts of the world can now hear Richard in their own language. And because you have enjoyed these messages, others around the planet will be able to as well. But we need your help right now to make this opportunity happen. You can contribute at our website, richardellis.com, or call 855-6-RICHARD. Once again, that's richardellis.com, or call 855-6-RICHARD. So till next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.